Iranian voters went to the polls today to elect a new parliament, or majlis. Many moderates were blocked from running by election authorities. Meanwhile, Iran has been officially blacklisted by an international body. The Financial Action Task Force decided Iran is failing to comply with anti-terrorism financing guidelines. Barbara Slavin is director of the Future of Iran Initiative at the Atlantic Council. Barbara, let's start with that news from the Financial Task Force in Paris. How significant is it, and what does it actually mean for Iran?
Well, it is significant, although the Iranian economy has been so isolated primarily by U.S. sanctions that the impact may not be that great. There had been hope for several years that Iran would enact anti-terrorism legislation, anti-money laundering legislation, and it actually passed through the parliament a couple of times, but then was blocked by something called the Guardian Council, which also figures in the elections. It has enormous powers to block legislation, to vet candidates. So it didn't go through in time to meet a deadline, and after 3 years of having Iran on a so-called gray list, they are back on the blacklist that they were on before 2016.
Why do you think this is happening now?
Well, there's been a lot of pressure from the Trump administration to put Iran on this blacklist as part of the so-called maximum pressure campaign that we've been seeing against Iran. This is an effort to make Iran pay and hurt as much as possible, allegedly to get Iran to return to the negotiating table for new negotiations. But frankly, lately, it has looked mostly just like punishment without any particular strategy or goal in mind.
Did the U.S. assassination of Qasem Soleimani kind of reprise the concern of Iran's proxy battles outside Iran, led by Soleimani?
Well, you know, I think one of the arguments by those who did not want to put in place these financial transparency laws is that it would be used as a way to prevent Iran from continuing to support these various proxy movements. I'm not sure if that's true. I think most of this kind of assistance takes place in cash. It doesn't go through banks. But there has been a general hardening of anti-Western sentiment in Iran since the U.S. assassinated Soleimani, and the thought that Iran would do the West a favor by approving these measures, I think that became less and less popular.
Mm. My impression has been that much of the rest of the world has been trying to distance itself from the U.S.'s maximum pressure campaign. How significant is it that the international community is getting together behind these measures against Iran?
Well, again, you know, I think Europeans in particular fought this for a long time, but they're in a difficult situation. How much time can you give Iran to pass these measures? Plus, you know, the Iranians have been moving out of the Iran nuclear deal. They're no longer in full compliance with it, and I think there's frustration.
Meanwhile, Iranians were out voting in parliamentary elections today. What have you heard about turnout?
It looks like it's pretty low, which is what everybody expected. I mean, the Guardian Council, again, disqualified many of the so-called reformist candidates, including many of the incumbent members of parliament. The mood in Iran is extremely hopeless and depressed, and the usual exhortations that would get people out to the polls don't seem to be working.
So what will these elections actually change in Iran?
Well, the parliament is not exactly the most important body in Iran, but it does have some influence. And I think everyone sees this as a kind of run-up to a complete takeover of all of the elected institutions by conservative forces in the country. You get a sense that Iran is really hunkering down under pressure from the United States. And any move toward liberalization, toward reform, is just not going to happen.
That's Barbara Slavin at the Atlantic Council. Always good to chat, Barbara. Thank you.
You're welcome.